Rashog, what would you do with Matt Hendricks?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to grab him, and it was somewhat of a reasonable pick. Like, I think it'll be hard, though, you guys, because I think that, I mean, Matt Hendricks, is as much as we watch him every night and we see that he's giving it everything he has and that he's a good penalty killer and a valuable player on the team, I think that what really makes that difficult to do is the extra year that he's got on the deal. I think that makes it really hard, right? He's got another year after this year at almost $2 million, and I think that'll probably scare some teams away. So if so the owners had the chance to move him, I wouldn't have an issue if they did.
Really? Why? How does it make your team better?
Well, they're not trying to get better right now.
Okay. But are they ever going to try to get better? So when is this cycle of, well, we're just going to try to keep hoping on the shoulders of 18-year-olds?
When is the time to start trying to make the team better? If that's the question, then I would say the minute the draft lottery is done, or the minute the regular season is done and they know where they finished and where they're going to be, then they get down to trying to make the lineup better. But to do anything right now to make their lineup better doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, given all it does is diminish the value of their draft pick. So why would you do a bunch of stuff right now to make your team, unless there's some massive deal that's available to Craig McTavish that he just can't possibly turn down? Like, let's say all of a sudden, oh, you can get Ryan Johansson, or, oh, you can get Ryan O'Reilly. Well, that fundamentally shifts the shape of your team. Then maybe you have to consider doing that. But other than that, no, you don't make tweaks right now to try and make this team better. They got their tweaks, their shakeup with the Klinkhammers and the Frasers and the Derek Roys. That's done now. They're not going to do anything to make themselves any better for the rest of the year. People need to be... need to understand that.
No one is talking.
It might go the other way, buddy. They might make moves to make themselves worse.
Okay, so here's the thing: the Buffalo Sabres are beyond terrible, right? So, yeah. if anybody believes that trading Matt Hendricks will make the Oilers that much worse that they'll compete with Buffalo, I don't think is paying attention to how bad Buffalo has been all season long and will continue to be for the remainder of the season. So you're going to trade a guy to not even improve enough to catch Buffalo. And Edmonton, even if they keep Matt Hendricks, probably can still finish 28th or 29th. I don't see them being any better than that. Now you've lost a leader in the room where they don't have a lot of leadership. They don't have a lot of vocal guys. So you're going to get rid of the one vocal guy, and you might be able to go find another grinder, but doesn't mean he's a vocal guy. And now your team again has lost something that it drastically doesn't have, all in the hopes of maybe on a 13% chance that you might win the lottery. Doesn't make sense to me. That's a bad bet.
Yeah. So, I mean, Matt Hendricks isn't at the top of my list in terms of players that are likely to go or should go. I think if you want to talk about a player that the Oilers could move, who they actually might get something in return for, that might give them a little bit of a return, while at the same time go a real long way in, beating up their chances, Boyd Gordon is the guy. If there's a team out there that wants to shore themselves up at center that doesn't mind that he's got another year left, that feels like he's going to be able to play at a high level next year too. I mean, you're bringing in a guy that can win you all kinds of faceoffs through a playoff run. That to me is the move where it'll be a clear sign from the Oilers that they're trying to diminish their chances this year at finishing any higher and get a return on a guy, because the return for Boyd Gordon might not be too shabby. So that's the signal flare to me. That player Petrie's obvious, right? Everybody knows that's happening. But moves like Hendricks or Gordon, though, or Ferentz, like some people have been talking about, I mean, those are moves that will illustrate to you where Craig McTavish's head is really at.
Yeah, and this conversation started, Ryan. I mean, it's framed in, Arizona can unload all these guys, and we were talking about, what could weaken the Oilers. I thought of Gordon, too. The reason I pick one over the other is Gordon's 31. And he plays a hard game, but I don't see the mileage on him that I do on Hendricks. And by saying Hendricks, it's not a knock. It's he's a good player, but he's not going to matter on this team when it's any good. He's He's 33. You can find a grinder. You can find some leadership. If you start shipping out 25-goal guys, well, okay, show me another one. And the other thing, as we well know, Boyd Gordon, tell me who the established centers are with the Edmonton Oilers. Hendricks is a winger.
Okay, but you guys are telling me Angola, Hendricks and Gordon are the third line in Edmonton. They're not the fourth line. They're the third line. And so go tell me which of these third line wingers who are great leaders that you can magically go out and get for $1.85 million. I don't see them. I don't see where those guys are in this free agent market.
Yeah,
and then you're telling me that the Edmonton Oilers, based on their past history, now you guys are putting faith in the management that you can go out and find the pieces you need? They haven't found pieces they've need for 5 years. Why are they suddenly going to do it this summer?
Well, they've been able to find those kinds of pieces. Like the Boyd Gordons and the Matt Hen, those are the pieces they've been able to find. And the Gazdics, they haven't been able to find the top six pieces with size and skill. That's what they've failed to put together. I mean, you can cobble together a fourth line that's workable and even decent, right? You can do that through free agency. You can do that in a number of different ways. So, look, man, the other thing about the Sabres, too, is that as bad as they are, they're about to get worse, right? Like, they're going to move Chris Stewart. They're going to move Drew Stafford. I'm not sure if they're going to move Torrey Mitchell or not. They're going to move probably one of their goalies, like Mazzaros. They're going to get worse than they are now. So the race to be as bad as Buffalo is going to be really tough. But, I mean, I'll tell you what. If Craig McTavish had the opportunity right now to fix his goaltending, do you think he would do it? I don't think he would.
Yeah, but
I think a starting goaltender could fall in his lap today, and he'd be like, "Yeah,
yeah."
Okay.
Well,
hopefully this is still there in the summer. Will be his attitude.
Well, see, that I would disagree with that because if there was a realistic chance of getting starting goaltender now, I would go get it because you're not finishing 30th anyway. The best you're going to finish is 27th. That's the best case scenario to finish this year, even if you got an outstanding goaltending. That's best case scenario. So to me, if there was actually one out there, they would be idiotic to turn it down because you can't look a gift horse in the mouth and a position that has been unstable for years. If you had the opportunity to fix it, but you didn't because of a 6% chance and increase of winning the lottery, then you deserve to be fired tomorrow.
Well, and hey, I mean, maybe that's the case. I'm just telling you, my gut tells me that if Craig got a chance to fix the goaltending right now, he would probably hold off and try and find another solution in the summer. I believe their mindset is there's no reason to improve this team right now. Like they a bit of a shake up because it was absolutely necessary, but I don't think that anything else is going to be done. And really, it just becomes a matter of how much are they willing to sell off. That's what we're talking about here, guys.
Yeah,
how much are they going to be willing to sell off, right? And
well, willing and what's smart.
Is Boyd Gordon going to re-sign after next season? I mean, are all the Oilers' answers going to come in the offseason and next year? And is Boyd Gordon going to be part of things if this team turns the corner in 2 years? And so trading Boyd Gordon off this team would put a huge dent in it, like a huge dent in it. And it would be a real sign from McTavish on what his intentions are with this team. That's the one that I wait to see as much as anything else.
Yeah, if they trade Boyd Gordon, then they're a loser organization. End of story.
Yeah.
Well, loser organization if they trade Boyd
Gordon. Fair comment by you, buddy. It's fair comment by you. But at the same time, the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that of all of the drafts that the Oilers have been brutal for heading into, none of the other drafts have been talked about the way this draft is being talked about. None of the other drafts were generational players, and that team term gets used so loosely, but Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel are two players who people look at and go, that is potentially, I don't think anybody's saying he's Sidney Crosby, but it could be like somewhere between Patrick Kane and Steven Stamkos. You understand what I'm saying? Like, nobody talked about the other drafts like that. Nobody. And even Hanifin, a lot of people feel like he's not that far off from being that type as well. So this is a bit of a different beast, and people might hate it, but the truth of the matter is, if it's a slim margin between 28th and 27th, and it means a difference between getting one of those two guys or not, you'd kind of be a little bit silly to risk not getting one of those two. So this draft is different. This isn't necessarily fool's gold at this point because one of these two players could make a very significant difference quite quickly.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep in mind that Steven Stamkos, as great of a goal scorer he is, the Tampa Bay Lightning, have they ever won a playoff series with Stamkos? So, like, one player is one great player. You need so much more. And when Patrick came to Chicago,
yeah,
he had, you know, and that's the problem in Edmonton. They've got so many other deficiencies that putting it on one player just means, okay, great, they put it on the one player. And if that means that because they traded Gordon to do that, then you know what? Great, they got the young player, and now they're still another 3 years away.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's not just going to be on him. Like, you got to keep in mind what getting one of these two players does for this organization. Right, you can't just discount it like, it's fool's gold, and they're stupid if they make any decisions based on the chance of getting one of those two. I think that this draft is weighted a little differently. So if you get a chance to draft, let's say, Jack Eichel, right? Well, now you got Nugent Hopkins, Eichel, Draisaitl, Hall, Eberle as legitimate assets in your organization, and you got to figure out what to do with Yakupov. Well, you got Eichel. Well, now maybe you can trade Draisaitl. Or maybe now you can trade Taylor Hall. Well, now all of a sudden you turn Taylor Hall into that top pairing defenseman that they've needed forever. Well, okay, wait a minute. Now you got Nugent Hopkins in year, whatever, it'll be five. You got, you know, Eichel. Then, okay, yep, so they're looking for a number three guy. You got Lander in the four slot. Now you got a legitimate top pairing defenseman. And now you look to, like, I'm telling you, man, like, this year the asset of that first round pick is good enough that it could be pretty significant. So I don't think just writing it off as, that would be silly, is necessarily the right way to go about it either.
Shogger, enjoy the McDavid Bowl tonight. Although I will say this, Buffalo has that pretty much wrapped up. There's no way Edmonton finishes lower than Buffalo this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you, man. For sure I would. But there's two spots in the draft lottery and a lot to be determined. So, there's a lot that'll happen between now and then, but I don't see any reason for Craig McTavish to try and improve this team for the rest of this year. And in fact, looking at the long-term viability at a few of these players and whether they're going to be part of this thing in 18 months, I think it's probably fair conversation.
All right, Chagger, appreciate your time.
Hey, boys.